You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 147.
That's right, John, 147.
And we're not in our regular digs.
No, well, you're in your regular seat, right?
Yes.
And I usually sit right outside, but I am not at your location. I am Skyping in.
No
doubt. It's really a pain in the ass.
Why?
Well, I left my headphones and my cans at your place.
Yeah.
So I got these little iPod plugs in my ears.
It's annoying. Lame. Yeah.
Oh, you know, see, it's going to... about it mentally, sitting in my house by myself, I just don't get as excited as when I'm at your house, John. I don't know how the Mediocre Show pulled it off all those years, because Tyler?
Taylor? Tyler?
Yeah, Tyler.
You say Taylor, Taylor, I say Tyler, or Rice versa.
He was Skyping in the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why he sounded like he wasn't very excited about the whole thing.
Hey, hats off to them, man. The Phillies are in the World Series.
Hey, how about that?
How about that?
The Phillies. Nobody was talking about the Phillies 2 months ago, were they?
No, I don't think so. I think they were like last place or something.
And they're in.
They're in like Flint.
And the Cubbies and the Sox, they're out. Done.
As usual.
Done, John. So since last... Oh, the reason we're doing this is because we couldn't get it together Sunday night. And then... Monday night, we decided to do Skype as a plan B. Plan A was that you were going to come over to my house, but that plan got canceled because you have some gastrointestinal flooding going on right now, and you didn't feel comfortable being at my house and possibly having to use my facilities. I don't know why. I mean, if I had that issue, I'd go to your house.
I know you would.
I'd be jamming up your toilet right next to your microphone.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure.
Like, but you didn't feel comfortable. So, you know, I understand that. You're at home, and I'm at home. And,
Yeah.
Oh, also, we were supposed to have a guest.
Right.
And our guest canceled on us, which is a good thing because we ended up canceling our Sunday podcast anyway.
Right.
But he couldn't make it because he went to the Bears game at the last minute.
Yeah, likely story.
Yeah, right.
That was actually...
Go ahead.
Well, that was Zach that was going to do...
Yeah, Zach.
It was Zach, yeah.
Episode 44, episode 77.
That's right.
And he's in the catheter movie.
Right.
I'm Zach. I'm 25.
I'm available to men only. Yeah, he went to the Bears Vikings game yesterday, where the Bears almost lost, or could have lost, the way it was going. 48-41, the Bears beat the Minnesota Vikings yesterday.
So they're 4-3.
Yeah.
Who do they play next week?
It's a bye.
It's a bye. Now, Indianapolis get beaten by Green Bay?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know. Horribly. So, anyway, when I first met Zach, I invited him to a Bears game.
I thought you were going to save the story for when Zach is online.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So we can make fun of him.
Yeah. Let's save this story.
Because he doesn't listen, right?
No.
He's not a listener.
No.
He's just a guest.
He's just an ass. Don't show up to our show. It's like
did
McCain.
He reschedule for Sunday or no?
He didn't say which Sunday. He's like McCain. Do you need a ride to the airport? McCain on
You're
Letterman.
Referring to, of course, Letterman. Yes, of course.
Duh.
Letterman. McCain did go on Letterman. Eventually.
Yes.
And Letterman was the only journalist who said, well, wait a minute, you make these claims about Obama and Ayers. But what about a McCain and G. Gordon Liddy?
Right.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
That question has to be on late night television because all the other journalists in America are a bunch of wusses.
Big pussies.
Pussies.
Yeah.
You fucking bitch!
No doubt, Scott. So what have you been up to, man? I did see a movie today. I saw, I stayed home. I saw Secret of My Success.
Who's in that? Michael J. Fox?
Michael J., man.
Nice. I haven't seen that in 20 years.
This movie's the best. I should have put it on my top 10.
Really?
Yeah.
You're kidding, right?
Really?
Swap it out with Risky Business?
No way, man.
Oh, I got to tell you, Netflix.
Netflix?
Do you have Netflix?
Yeah. No, not anymore.
Not anymore. Well, they have this new thing where you can add movies to your queue, and they'll mail those out to you. And then they also have this thing called an instant queue. And I don't want to say, maybe 20% of their movies you can view online. So right now I have Risky Business up. I've been watching the first 10 minutes of Risky Business.
Nice.
But I can view it online, and it's unlimited. I could watch 30 movies in a month if I wanted to. A movie a day.
Nice. That's it, though?
What do you mean that's it?
Only a movie a day?
No, you could watch 10 movies a day if you wanted to.
Like, oh, right.
What happened is I'm still working on my computer. My computer crashed. But in the meantime, the wife went out and bought herself a computer. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Yeah.
Is my wife's computer.
Oh.
And it has Vista, which I'm not too happy about. But
I prefer Vista.
Whatever. one of the things that I'm able to do is go to Netflix and view these movies instantly on the computer. So as I'm working on the computer, installing software and all that shit, I'm watching movies. It's outstanding. I love it. They also have a piece of hardware you can buy. It's like $100. And what it'll do is somehow it'll beam the movie to your TV.
Beam it, huh?
Yeah, beam it.
It's like so technical.
It'll beam it right over to the TV.
I'm a programmer, and it'll beam it somehow.
So I'm thinking about getting that. But my viewing habits, it really makes me want to work on the computer more, do more computer work when I can watch a movie at the same time.
Right. Really? That's with Netflix?
Netflix. And so I went out and I bought a Flash 8 professional tutorial, so I'm going to start getting into Flash. I'm going to be redesigning our website and Kangaroo Court's website.
Wow.
I'll need your help with some photographs, but we'll get into that later.
Sure, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, the other thing that I did is, so we got the new PC. The other thing that I did, my wife and I did, we had a date on Saturday.
Aren't you married?
I am married, but we had the babysitter come over, and we were able to spend some time together. The first thing we did, you know what the first thing we did, John?
No.
We went to City Hall, and we voted early.
Wow.
Right on.
I haven't done that.
And I got to wear my I voted sticker.
Nice.
The rest of the day.
The rest of the day.
Well, one of the things that, so we show up at City Hall, we show them our IDs, and it's electronic voting.
Oh, Diebold?
Not Diebold, Sequoia or Saskatchewan or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds similar. Sequoia and Saskatchewan.
I sit down to vote. The very first vote is for the presidential election, and it's a touch screen. So you touch the checkbox. So, for example, they have Obama, Biden, and there's a box, and then McCain, Palin. And
right.
You check the box. Now, let's say you wanted to change your mind. You don't just check the other box. You have to uncheck your first box and then check the other box.
Wow.
I thought that was nice. But the thing that really didn't give me confidence in this system at all. So I go in through and I vote. And then when you get to the judges, it's not really you're voting for one judge or the other. You're just voting
to keep
should
one
they
in.
Stay a judge or not stay a judge. So it's a yes or no question. So I'm saying yes to all the women and no to all the men. And what happens is when you go to a review page. Now, when they display these yes and no votes, it's uppercase Y, lowercase ES, uppercase N, lowercase O.
Yeah.
But then what doesn't give me confidence at all is when you go to review your votes. Some of the yeses are all caps, and some of the yeses have a capital Y, lowercase E, and an S. So there's no consistency. Same with the no's. And just that one fact alone just does not give me any confidence. The only thing that gave me confidence is, as part of the review, I could print a paper ballot.
Oh, yeah.
Which I did. But I guess some of these Sequoia machines, you don't have the ability to print that paper ballot. It's all electronic. And if it was all electronic and I wasn't able to print, I would have somehow canceled that, gone back to them and said, I need a paper ballot.
Yeah.
Because this system gives me no confidence whatsoever.
I would have just kicked it over.
Just because
right
of
the
lack of consistency. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's really a joke. It's really a joke. And, you know, it's government contracts going to friends of theirs. It probably went down like this. Somebody in the Senate figured out that they're going to go to electronic voting. And they said, hey, I got a friend who can do that.
I got a brother that'll...
Yeah, let me give all the money to him. And the brother, meanwhile, has never done anything like this. So he puts together some piece of shit. And then that's what we have for a voting system.
Right.
They don't go to the highest bidder. They don't go like a normal business does.
Lowest bidder.
Yeah, lowest bidder.
Yeah, that sucks. That would suck.
I'm pretty confident in my vote. You know, and they always talk about the October surprise.
Right.
was wondering what would my candidate have to do to make me want to switch candidates after it's too late, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't think of really anything.
Well, you know, they're working on that. McCain Palin.
But I am done. I'm done voting.
I should have done that today.
I just hope it counts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I should have done it today.
Yeah, because you were home all day.
Yeah.
They have toilets over at City Hall.
It is a toilet. What do you mean?
You could have excused yourself.
I excused myself right there in the voting booth. You know, they say pull the lever.
Also, on a personal note, well, a couple of things. So my cousin I was up north, and I told my cousin why I'm leaning towards Obama.
Yeah.
And I sent him an email and said, okay, I told you why I'm leaning towards Obama. Tell me why you're leaning towards McCain. He did not reply to that email. But I sent him another email, and he replied to my other email. So he's ignoring my McCain email. And he's replying to shit, basically.
Right.
So he's avoiding me. We might have to just call him next week.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I did email him was another family matter, something we talked about on the show before.
Yeah.
My cousin Andy, who used to get us gigs at the Wabash Tap, had his own podcast. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Remember the name of it?
It was like a tongue-in-cheek play on
words.
That's
the name of the company.
Oh.
The name of the podcast was Robot Voodoo Lounge.
Oh, right, something like that, yeah.
I can't be sure. The name of the company that he worked for, that he was a co-creator of, was a video company, website company, marketing company named Opuscule.
Opuscule.
I was looking for their podcast because I ran into him at a wedding a while back. And I said, hey, you know, your podcast stopped at episode 47. What's going on? And he said, well, you need to go to this website and we're working on our RSS and blah, blah, blah. So I finally had the time to go to the Opuscule website. And
yeah.
Here's what I have to read. Now, remember, my cousin's name is Andy, okay?
All right.
So this was posted on September 27th. I'm going to read what it says. On Friday, September 27th, 2008, as a result of a financial disagreement, Andy, Scott's cousin, decided to leave Opuscule Productions, Inc. After 2.5 years, a dozen videos, scores of corporate lunches, and a bond that only brothers share, he will be missed. To him, I wish the best of luck in the future and hope that a now broken friendship maybe sometime rekindled. To everyone else, Opuscule is still alive and well and accepting new clients. Check back for updates. So there you have it.
Yeah.
My cousin left the company, but also one of the lamest podcasts that has ever been produced, ever.
One mic in the room or something.
Yeah,
right?
They had a mic like in the center of the table, a coffee table, and they had 8 people shouting into it. It was the worst. I don't even know if those are still out there. I might have some on my old hard drive, John.
Yeah.
So I got one cousin up north ignoring my McCain and another cousin who is no longer a part of Opuscule and no longer doing podcasts.
And he doesn't tell you.
No, he doesn't tell me. In fact, the last time I talked to him, he said, oh, the company's doing great. Everything's great. I'm really excited.
Contracts with Oprah.
Right. And then
corporate lunches.
I wonder what the financial disagreement was.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask him when I see him. I have to reach out to him.
We need to give more money to Scientology, man. It's the only way to become successful.
Maybe we can get him on the show.
Yeah. Give him some tips.
Some tips. Yeah.
In podcasting production.
Yeah, but getting back to movies. So Netflix, I saw In the Company of Men. I was on a... who's the guy in Batman who played the Two-Faced? What's his name? Harvey Dent. Was that Harvey Dent? Turns into Two-Faced? Aaron Eckhart.
No.
I'm on an Aaron Eckhart.
That's an Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah, Aaron Eckhart.
No, it wasn't.
The latest Batman.
Oh, the latest.
Yeah,
right.
Not the Jack Nicholson Batman. That was the black guy.
Not
Billy
the
D.
Jack
Williams.
Nicholson. No, you douchebag. Two-Face in the black man. Batman was
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones, man.
I mean Two-Face. You know what I meant.
Remember this part in Secret of My Success?
No, I haven't seen that movie in 20 years. He was
the wife of the company is in the back
seat.
It was also, this song was featured in Ferris Bueller.
Right on, Ferris Bueller. So anyway, I'm in, on this Aaron Eckhart thing in Netflix. So I watched In the Company of Men on my PC, which I guess it was okay. You know, a lot of people really liked this movie. I didn't care for it too much. It wasn't that big of a deal.
What
and maybe
was
that's
it?
Because I was doing other stuff.
What was it?
In the Company of Men. I think that's
right.
It. Maybe I should look it up. I didn't write any notes or anything. Let me see if that was it. But basically, it's about these two guys that one guy, actually both of them, get jilted by their girlfriends. So they decide to pick out a woman and screw around with her. She happens to be a deaf administrative person at the company they work for. Yeah, In the Company of Men, it's called. It came out in 1997.
All right.
For me, the payoff at the end wasn't... and maybe that's because I knew a little bit about the movie before I saw it. But I do like Aaron Eckhart as an actor. And I think you can see the progression of his abilities as I had like an Aaron Eckhart marathon with Netflix.
It's crazy, man. So what's the deal? You pay... How does that work?
Well, there's different plans. Like, you can pay for
20
one
bucks.
Movie a month.
Yeah.
No, my current thing is like $16 a month. We get three movies that they'll mail us that we can have out at a time, three movies. But then we get unlimited play of all the movies that they have online, which is only about 20% of their library. But for example, once I found this out, this feature, in my instant queue, there's now like 60 movies that I'm excited about watching. A lot of them are documentaries, but Risky Business is one of them. So I think it's totally cool. Totally cool. And from what I understand, Netflix is converting these things to digital, you know. So at some point, maybe it's 4 or 5 years, all of the shit is going to be digital, except the new releases. So in my Aaron Eckhart marathon, I ran a... Hello?
Yeah,
hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
What's the matter?
Well, I just heard a bunch of static. Really loud. The static went up quite a bit. I don't know if the call dropped or not. So in my marathon of Aaron Eckhart films, I found a film that I would love to recommend to our audience. Now, interestingly, In the Company of Men rates 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb. The movie that I am recommending only rates 6.6 out of 10. It stars Aaron Eckhart as Bill. It has Jessica Alba.
Nice. Is she naked?
She doesn't get naked, but Elizabeth Banks is in it. That's Aaron Eckhart's wife.
Yeah.
She gets pretty close to naked, and she's really good looking. And then there's Logan Lerman. Logan Lerman.
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 Okay.
So the movie is called Meet Bill. Meet Bill.
Meet.
And basically it's about a guy who marries into an unbelievably wealthy, connected, and powerful family. And they make him the VP of HR for their company.
Me tot to me.
But it's really just a job that really doesn't have a lot of responsibility, and they can just, you know, push him to the side. So he has dreams about making it by himself. He wants to open a donut shop.
And his name is Bill.
Is Bill. Yes,
Bill Mitototomy.
I'm not sure what his last name is, but
oh no, Meet Bill.
But
Mitototomy Bill.
With a mentor program with a private school. So the kid he mentors is one of these kids with just loaded with money, unbelievable amounts of money. So they form this relationship. Jessica Alba's in it, and I guess it would be called a dark comedy.
Yeah, dark.
But I
like the
really,
dark.
Really enjoyed it. One of the things I enjoyed a lot was this kid. They never give him a name. Logan Lerman plays the kid, and he reminds me of a young otter from Animal House. Like if National Lampoon wanted to do a prequel to Animal House revolving around Otter in high school, this kid would be perfect. I mean, he had the same charisma as an otter and everything. I mean, I was just really enjoyed his performance.
Impressed.
As well as Aaron Eckhart. So I did bring a clip in. This is a clip from the movie. I sent it to you MP3. Are you ready to play the clip?
What's it called?
It's called Meet Bill. Before you play the clip, I'll just give a brief setup. You let me know when you're ready to play the clip, and I'll tell you
Bill.
The setup. I just sent it to you an email with a link probably an hour ago.
Right.
An hour ago. Remember, we had this whole DLL conversation.
Right.
And
DLL.
Audacity and lame.
Right.
Download lame. And I was able to save the file as an MP3 and then send it to you via email. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
So did you find it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, so here's the setup. So what happens is his wife turns out she's having an affair with a newsman played by Oliphant. Is that his name? Oliphant?
I guess it was Oliphant.
He was the bad guy in the latest Die Hard movie. He was also the sheriff in the HBO series Deadwood. Oh. So his wife's having this affair. He suspects she's having an affair, and he videotapes her bedroom and finds out that, yes, they're having an affair. So then he brings the tape over to his brother's house. Now, his brother is gay and has a partner, so to speak.
Yeah.
So watching this videotape, and this scene happens right after the videotape ends with the wife shtupping the newsman played by Oliphant. Go ahead and play the clip, John.
All right.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill her after I kill him.
Calm down.
Calm down. My wife is screwing the on-the-scene news guy.
We don't know that was him for sure.
Come on. The hair.
Could have been anyone.
Yeah, anyone. Anyone except me.
Anyone who works out all the time.
God, he's in my bed. He's in my shirt.
Why aren't you into blowjobs?
She said I'm not into blowjobs. Listen to me, and I want this to be known. I love blowjobs. I am Mr. Blowjob aficionado.
That's running the family.
Paul, can you stop being a fag for half a second?
I'll try. Little acorn. All right, that's enough.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a great part of the movie. So he separates from his wife. He still has to maintain this relationship because the father is going to run for a political office. He gets involved with this mentor program and this the kid. And Jessica Alba is involved because of the kid. And I really enjoyed it, and I think you would too, John.
Nice.
That is my recommendation. Out of four Spiny Normans, I give it three. A solid three.
The blowjobs running the family. That's nice. Can you stop being a faggot for 1 second?
Nice. Meet Bill.
Nice.
Also in movie news, John, The W came out.
The W. Did you see that? So
Saturday we had date day. The babysitter came over at noon. We went in and voted. And then we headed over to Randhurst. We're going to check out the movies. And if no movies are available, we're going to go to Carson's and we're going to go to Costco, right?
Ah, movie roulette.
So we pull up and we both decided that we wanted to see Appaloosa.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't there, so... Max Payne, which I really wasn't interested in.
Why not? And, you don't want to see Marky Mark?
No, not really.
Hey, dog. How you doing? You're a furry dog. Say hello to your mother.
I can't remember the other movie, but we got there at 12:45, and at 12:50, The W was going to start, right?
The W.
So I go back to the car, and I say, well, you know, Appaloosa's not here, and so-and-so starts at 3:30, but we could see The W in 5 minutes. And my wife was like, no way. I have no interest in seeing that movie. So I did not get to see The W.
Oh, man.
But here's what Ebert has to say. He's my favorite critic of all time. I don't know if you know that, John.
Ebert?
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert?
Can't even talk anymore, okay? So your imitation.
Roger Ebert.
No, he can't even do that. So your imitation is way off, okay?
Excuse me, couldn't you move your head?
But here's what Ebert has to say about The W. I just, not the whole thing, I just took out some clip. Here's Ebert, his review out of W.
Ebert out of W.
This one, he's telling a story of what they portray. At his Texas ranch, the W takes the inner circle on a march through the blazing sun, misses a turn, and assures them that it's only a half a mile back. Cheney, after three heart attacks, and Rice, wearing inappropriate shoes, straggle along unhappily. Would you love to see that? I would love to see that. Also, he says here, his parents are apparently even more disturbed by his decision to run for governor of Texas.
Oh, man.
Than by his drinking. So his drinking doesn't bother them as much as his run for governor.
Oh, man.
One might feel sorry for George W. at the end of this film were it not for his legacy of a fraudulent war and a collapsed economy. The film portrays him as incompetent to be president and shaped by the puppet masters Cheney and Rove to their own ends. If there is a saving grace, it may be that Bush will never fully realize how badly he did. How can he blame himself? He was only following God's will.
Wait a minute. Is he watching the movie or is he going off on his political opinion of the W, the real guy?
A little of both. A little of both.
A little?
The other reviews that I've read have said that the Oliver Stone, if nothing else, tries to, but what comes across is you feel a certain amount of sympathy for the W because he is so unbelievably underqualified and incompetent, which is to me is an amazing story. How a guy like this, who 20 years of his life were partying, and in that time he ran companies into the ground, somehow gets to become president just because of his dad's legacy or the Bush name. It's unbelievable to me.
I get to decide, not you. Well, anyway, Scott, 92 days left. Today is Monday the 20th, and 92 days left for the W.
The W. You know, they talk about the October surprise. Maybe it's going to be a January surprise.
Yeah.
As predicted on our show, where the W attacks Iran and calls off the elections.
Wow.
There's another reason he can call off the elections.
What's that?
If he thinks fraudulent.
If he thinks the elections are fraudulent?
Yes. If the W decides the elections are not being managed and accurate, they're not being managed appropriately, and so the results will not be accurate, he can call off the election.
Well, you know, the Obama campaign just asked the DOJ, I believe, to start investigating a link between the W and McCain and the whole up-dusting with Acorn to see if they're working together.
Yeah, now Acorn, I'm not too familiar with that organization, but from what I understand, they pay people to try to get
voter registrations
for not even middle class, for what would you say, working class and lower people.
Yeah.
Who do they target, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, the poor, homeless.
Homeless?
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't have a home, you can't vote. That's my opinion.
Really?
You know, people used to say that if you don't vote, you can't complain. I say bullshit. If I pay taxes, I can complain. But if you don't have a goddamn home, you can't vote. You're
like
an illegal alien. If you don't have an address, how can you can't
so
vote?
So if you lose your house today and you're homeless.
Well, I won't be homeless. If I lose my house today, and believe me, with this economy, that very well
you
may happen.
And your wife lose your jobs.
Right. We will get an address. It's not going to be the license plate of her truck, for example.
Maybe, man.
It may be. That may be for a couple of months, but I cannot imagine not having an address for longer than 2 months.
Right.
Even in today's economy. Oh, that's the other thing I need to talk to you. Should we do it now or offline? We talked about this with Rick. We need to start playing every other weekend, or I need to leave the band and get another job.
Well, Rick and I just talked about that. We said, okay, we got this gig, and maybe day before Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that. You don't understand the family dynamics around this Thanksgiving. I can explain it to you.
Hey, that's not my problem. You're the one with the problem. Okay.
Hey, no, I have a problem. My problem has a name, okay?
What are you talking about? You got to leave the band.
Well, here's a couple things going on. I'm going to school. Well, as long as I have a job, I'm going to school. If I don't have a job, I'm not going to school anymore. I'm going to school, and I'm getting nervous. I tell you, everything's still going very well for my wife and myself, but
yeah.
I would like some discretionary funds because I'm nervous about this economy and the future of our economy.
Well, what, you don't have money saved up in case, you know, like a year's worth of savings in case you...
We do. We do have that money. Well,
stop whining.
We have 18 months of savings, but if one of us is employed, if both of us lose our jobs, I'd have to calculate how much savings we have.
Yeah.
So I would just like to have an additional amount of savings in case the economy just goes totally fuck crazy. But the thing about if that were to happen, like if my wife and I were both to lose our jobs, the thing about that is the greatest opportunity for startup businesses. Which on a positive note, and I'm channeling The Secret here. I'm trying to think. You know, at the beginning of Risky Business, Miles tells Tom Cruise. He says, sometimes you just got to say, what the fuck? And he tells something very profound. He says, and I'm paraphrasing because I probably can't remember, but he says, the more freedom you have, the more opportunity you have. And I really believe in that. And I think if my wife and I were to lose our jobs, we have a tremendous amount of freedom to start something new and do something that we really love. And you hear about that all the time. You hear about guys that go to prison or guys that are homeless. And because of that freedom that they have, they can turn it around and focus on something that they really love, and they become a tremendous success.
Freedom creates opportunity.
Yes.
Sometimes you just got to say, what the fuck, Joel? Right.
And there you have it. So even if we were to lose our jobs, we have some padding to maintain and keep our house, and then try to come up with something in a depression where historically that's where the greatest opportunities are for a new business, during a depression.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I'm learning Flash, John.
You're learning Slash? What the hell's that?
No, Flash.
Oh, Flash. I thought you meant I'm learning Slash. I'm learning how to play guitar just like Slash.
No.
It's,
come on, man.
Hey, it's Skype. What do you want me to... Oh, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Slash. I'm learning come Flash. On, what, Flash? Enough, so you can get paid like 20 grand a year?
There's
fucking 13-year-olds that can blow through Flash like you wouldn't believe.
Right, but can they sit down with executives, and if there still are executives, and negotiate?
All the executives are going to be 13.
Yeah, most likely.
Wow.
Who knows? Who knows what'll happen? This next year is so goddamn unpredictable, it makes me a little anxious, John. It makes me anxious.
Tell me about it. Your mic's popping, man.
Get a fucking microphone that works, motherfucker!
Yeah.
Like this, historically, the same kind of stuff it used to do? Oh, that's lame. That is lame.
Yeah.
I don't have another mic to swap out.
Get a fucking microphone that works, motherfucker!
Where is the other one?
It's at your house.
Oh. Everything's at my house. Your bass, your mic, your headphones. When do you move in? When do you want an underwear drawer?
When we both lose our jobs, then we'll be
moving. Oh, then we live in my house?
Yeah, we'll have a Displains residency.
We have four bedrooms, yeah.
Also in movie news, John, the first reviews for 007 have come out.
Oh, yes. Quantum of Solace.
Whatever. Have you seen the reviews?
No.
Would you like to hear what they have to
say?
Sure.
What do they have to say?
No, I don't know these people at all. I have no history.
No.
All I know is that they just reviewed the latest James Bond movie, and the reviews come out of the UK.
Ah, right.
Now, this movie comes out in November, right?
November 7th. The 7th, that's correct.
So somehow they saw this movie, and here's what one person says. Now, this is from, it's Ali at theshiznit.country.uk. Ali, okay?
Yeah.
Here's what this person has to say. Craig, it must be said, is excellent. Any doubt he could inhabit the role must surely now evaporate. His Bond is a real bruiser. Smack, crack, bleeding, and beaten from pillar to post, Craig looks like hell in the best possible way. The problems with Quantum of Solace should not fall at his feet. This is the best Bond he could have given, considering the circumstances. No, the issues are with the studio's choice of director in Mark Forster.
Oh.
This is a man who knows how to put dramatic audiences through the ringer. Monsters Ball, Finding Neverland, The Kite Runner. But he is completely out of his depth handling a franchise this large. High-tempo sequences like the opening car chase and an extremely Bournian, that's Bournian as in Jason Bourne,
right,
rooftop pursuit are disoriented in the extreme. Too fast, too sloppy, and too ruthlessly edited. Often things change in the blink of an eye. 1 second Bond is lying on his back, the next he's jumping out a window, the next he's swinging from a rope. It's impossible to keep up. I got to tell you, when I read this, my heart sank.
Really?
If there's one thing I cannot stand is when they chop up action sequences where I don't even know what's going on. That just ruins the whole thing.
Ruins.
And I go back to the movie with The Rock and the kid from
Stifler?
American Pie. Stifler.
Stifler.
Whatever that movie was. The Rock is a professional fucking wrestler. But whoever edited and directed that movie chopped up the fight scene so much I couldn't tell what was going on.
Right, right.
And it ruined the movie for me. Now I have this to look forward to when I go see the next Bond, because I'm going to go see it. No matter what the reviews say, I am going to pay money to go see the next Bond, because Casino Royale was such a fucking great movie. And now I got to deal with this shit. The person ends the review. That Ollie ends the review.
I loved watching that movie with my son, 8 years old.
Right on.
And,
not at the theater. DVD?
No, a DVD at home. Yeah. And the scene where he gets hit in the balls with the big knot, and he says, yeah, and he's laughing. And the guy's like, what are you laughing at? He goes, I'm just laughing because you're going to die scratching my nuts. And my son goes, that is so funny. And I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, what was funny? He goes, he said, you're going to, I'm laughing because you're going to die scratching my butt. That's what he said. You're right, Nate.
Did you correct him?
No.
He didn't say, no. He was talking about the family jewels.
No, I said, no. Yeah, that's funny. That's right. Mom, there was this great scene scratching my butt.
So the Ali from the Shiznit said, concludes, make no mistake, Quantum of Solace is a crushing disappointment.
Tetanus.
Crushing disappointment. Now,
how about a movie Quantum of Tetanus?
Well, let's phone up Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
But the thing about this is, now my expectations were very high, very high. After reading this review, now they're very low, very low.
Low.
So I think the enjoyment one can receive from going to see a movie, he must keep his expectations as low as possible. I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
If you go into a Bears game thinking they're going to lose every time, when they win, it's going to be the greatest thing ever, right?
It's like going into a bar and figuring every chick you talk to is going to reject you.
Right, and when the one doesn't, I mean, it's like New Year's Eve. You know what I'm saying?
That's just stupid. I have no self-esteem, no confidence. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You're not control. In any situation like that, you're really not controlling the situation. So, I mean, you can't control what that, how that movie's going to affect you.
Right.
You could go in with an expectation or no expectation, and maybe that deadens the pain.
Well, I'm definitely going to go in with an expectation.
And
my expectation is that all the action sequences are going to suck. So if any of them are even mediocre, it will exceed my expectations.
Ah. I see. Said the blind man. So how about these politics going on? Have you heard anything lately?
Politics? You ready to get into politics? I got celebrity news. Oh, dude, I got science news.
All right. You didn't tell me what the order was going to be. Is there an order?
Okay, this is, what, number 147, right?
Yeah.
Here's what we do. We do miscellaneous.
We did all the politics in the beginning last week.
I have a template.
Yeah, you have a template. We did a whiteboard like the first five times, and ever since then, it's been, all right.
That's because politics was so goddamn overwhelming the past couple of weeks, you see?
Yeah.
But now it's not. I already voted. So to me, it doesn't matter until November 4th. You know what I'm saying? my daughter's in fifth grade. Your daughter's in what grade?
Seventh.
She has to do all these reports on Obama and McCain, and they're going to have a vote in class.
Yeah,
they're going to get all the kids to vote. Is your daughter doing anything like that?
She did that before. She voted for the W.
Did she?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I got home from the date, Emma knew that we were going, my daughter knew that we were going to vote. So when I got home, she said, Who'd you vote for? And I said, I voted for the person that I thought would be the best president with the most experience, and that would be John McCain. And I've never seen her get so goddamn upset in my life.
Really?
And she's in fifth grade. I had to tell her, hey, look, I'm just kidding, okay? I mean, she was ready to
it
do
was Ron Paul.
Harm to me.
And that's what they're doing the other way. You vote for Barack, and they're going to torch your house, burn a cross on your front lawn.
All right, well, let's just, I'll quickly get through celebrity and science news.
All right.
And then we'll turn it to politics. Do you have any news on the celebrity and science front, John?
No, I don't.
All right, we're going to start out celebrity news. I'm going to give you a quote. You have to tell me what celebrity said this, okay? Are you ready?
Stop it!
Yeah.
Here's the quote. I'm smart, and I know what's going on. I can laugh at myself. I'm in on the joke. I know what you guys think of me, and I'm going to play into it and make you laugh at the same time. Who said that?
I know. It was
Thomas Aquinas.
No. Was that it?
No, it wasn't Linus. It was a current celebrity.
And I know. It was
Miles Bennett Tyson.
It was not Miles Bennett Tyson.
No.
He was the one who created the circuitry for artificial intelligence that led to the end of the world, I guess you can say.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I try
it
one more?
It was Paris Hilton, John.
Oh, Paris Hilton. Okay. Yeah, I knew
yeah,
that.
She's smart, and she knows what's going on.
What?
She says, I'm smart, and I know what's going on. I can laugh at myself. I'm in on the joke. So, Paris Hilton, this is all a big game she's playing on all of us.
Oh, right. It's a trick.
It's a trick. She's really like summa cum laude at Harvard.
Well, I got a question for her. I got one question for her.
Hey, how do you spell Del Rio? Hey, how do you spell Del Rio? You say they got no brains?
I would think it would be D-E-L-R-I-O.
That's correct, sir.
Now,
I was asking her, though, not you.
I'm going to mix a little celebrity with politics here, John.
All right.
Stephen Baldwin. Are you familiar with Stephen Baldwin?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Baldwin brother who found Christ, John.
I didn't know he was lost.
Yes, Christ was lost. Stephen Baldwin found him. And now they have a personal relationship. Stephen Baldwin has challenged Barack Obama to a match in the boxing ring. The staunch Republican and Baldwin black sheep told the New York Daily News, I'd like to knock some good sense into Barack. I wouldn't hurt him, but if he wins the election, he'll hurt me. He's a cultural terrorist.
Oh, my God. What a dick.
Can you believe that? Somebody who was in Biodome calls Barack Obama a cultural terrorist?
That's terrorism right there.
Yeah, Biodome with Pauly Shore is cultural terrorism. He's not associating. Obama's not even associating with him. The Stephen Baldwin is a cultural terrorist.
Yeah.
He also vowed to leave the U.S. if Obama is elected into office.
So did his brother when the W
Which
was...
Which one?
Alex. Alec, yeah.
Well, you know, I would say start packing is what I would say. I mean, Barack was just in Missouri and he got 100,000 people to show up. I mean, that's unbelievable to me. So the only thing I can think of is GOP voter tampering. And racist. But can you imagine if Barack Obama wins by a landslide, what that says about the Republican Party? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It says that we're going to overlook our racism and vote him in, and we're going to overlook all this GOP tampering and still vote him in.
Right.
Are you nervous about the election?
Yes.
Why?
Well, Barack is getting all this great publicity. 100,000 people show up to his latest rally in Missouri.
Missouri? Of all places.
Well, St. Louis.
Oh, all right then. I could see that. You know, you'd come out to see the arch, Anheuser-Busch, you'd go on the tour, and then you'd, you know, go over the Obama rally.
Right. 100,000 people. Hey,
what are you doing over there? That there's like this pause.
What do you mean?
It's like we're on. It's like we're you're broadcasting from Iraq. There's that.
Hey,
you know when they
listen.
Send a message over to Iraq and then you got to wait 2 seconds and then the guy responds. That's what
Quiet,
this podcast is like. What are you doing over there?
Quiet, numbskulls! I'm broadcasting.
I'm trying to set your compression because you're waving in and out.
I'm waving in and out.
Am
I still popping?
Oh yeah, just a little bit.
You see, we really need like interns to handle all this shit so you can concentrate on what I'm saying. That is the most important thing that you concentrate
on. I am concentrating, but you know, all good DJs run their own board. Didn't you know that?
Just a quick follow-up. Last podcast we asked, why would a Mark Wahlberg, who's so into religion in the Catholic Church, produce Entourage, which is based on his own...
Sins,
his own life. He came out and he said this. This is a follow-up. I go to church and people ask... let me start over. I go to church and people ask me if they can be on Entourage. What's going to happen? I go to church to worship. I don't go to church to talk about it. The stuff that I did with my Entourage back in the day is stuff that I'm not proud of and I'm asking forgiveness for. There you have it right there.
And 30 that's million why, an episode.
That's why he's into the church. He's into the church because I'm going to say something happened career-wise in his own mind. His perception was my career can either go south or it can excel. And I'm going to ask God to make it excel. At some point when he first got involved with this, in his career excelled, and he owes it all to God. That's why he's into church. And the other reason, now that he is successful, he feels guilt, tremendous guilt, for the way that he led his life earlier in his career.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And even if you saw him on Saturday Night Live, he was even saying, I'm a man of God. I'm a man of the church. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But the church has become a very important aspect of his life.
Hello, and dog. Hello, dog.
That's what we need as researchers, John, as men of science. We need to find out what it is that makes people suddenly have faith in the middle of their life.
Right.
And Tom Cruise is probably kicking himself because he wasn't in Marky Mark's ear telling him about Scientology at the time that this happened. Because here's what I'm saying, John. If he was into Hindu, he'd be praying to Hindu. If he was into Muslim, he'd be praying to Allah. If he was into Scientology, he'd be praying to Xenu. But he happened to be involved somehow with the Catholic Church, so he's praying to the only God that there is. All the others are fakes, if you ask me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Ask you. Yeah, I hear you.
All right, John.
What does that mean, though?
News.
What does that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean?
I don't know what that means.
Which part? So, I will expound on any question you ask.
So what?
What do you mean, so what? What does that mean, so what?
What does it mean?
We're doing scientific research here, and you're saying, so what?
Right. But at some point, he must have been involved with... Of course, he was involved with the Catholics or Christians.
Of course.
Or maybe
he
was...
Whoever he happened to be in a peripheral, is that a word? Relationship with, as far as religion, is the one he glommed onto.
You mean like a chick or a teacher or what?
Not a chick. It could have been a chick. It could have been a chick's influence. It could have been a teacher. It could have been just what he was thinking that day. And who knows? Maybe he was brought up in a Catholic religion. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
deep. I don't know anything about Marky Mark.
Maybe he was a drug addict and a drunk, and he went through the 12-step program like a lot of them do, and then they come and say, yeah, the reason why I'm alive today is I heard this voice, and it brought me to this Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever, and now everything is clear to me. I've taken the Lord into my heart and blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Right.
And now I can blame it all on the Lord or the devil.
Right on, John. But here's the deal. You got some of the greatest scientists today are trying to figure out from an evolutionary perspective why people buy into religion. You got Daniel Dennett, you got Richard Dawkins, you got Christopher Hitchens. They're all trying to figure this shit out. But what I think they're missing, they're looking at it from an evolutionary perspective. Why is this beneficial? Why would religion be beneficial to somebody to survive? And I don't think it's that. That's just me, John. That's me
talking. Well, I think it's a need to simplify the understanding.
Agreed. Completely agreed. But I think it's an individual's experience. It comes down to the individual. At some point in everybody's life, they ask themselves questions. Why am I here? What can I do to get there? And part of that answer is a supreme being, whichever one it is. God, Allah, Jehovah, Xenu. Actually, Xenu was a warlord.
Right. He was a bad guy.
But if circumstances align themselves correctly, people attribute religion or a god for their... what's the opposite of misfortune?
Fortune.
For their fortune. So I think
for their
Dawkins,
good fortune.
I think Dawkins and all those guys are wrong about religion being a benefit in evolutionary terms.
Well, you've been called smarmy before.
I am smarmy, and I think that it's not an evolutionary... It is a byproduct of evolution, but there's a secondary cause. But everybody goes through this. Everybody goes through this. And why do they go through that? Because religion, no matter where you're brought up, is a tradition. So I guess if you look at that at that perspective, then all people have religion at some point, and where did that come from? So, okay, Dawkins, Hitchens, do your stuff. But I'm saying we can add to that scientific research by exchanging ideas and articulating our own concept of why people migrate to this belief system. And we have examples. We have Tom Cruise. We have Marky Mark. Of course, they're celebrity examples, and this is anecdotal evidence, which doesn't hold up to the scientific method. But it's worth looking into, John.
Right.
That's what I'm...
Oh, I see. For your next example, thesis.
When I lose my job, when my wife loses her job, we will go to the government and try to get scientific funding to interview celebrities about their conversion to religion.
Not under John McCain.
Oh, no, not under John McCain.
Yeah,
no.
Because you know there's a
credit cunt.
A credit cunt right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, moving on.
Are you drinking anything?
Water.
That's it?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, because you got the...
get a fucking microphone that works, motherfucker!
You got the diarrhea.
Yeah.
Hey, help me finish this. When you're sliding into first...
and you feel that hungry thirst... Diarrhea?
Really?
Yeah.
And you feel the hungry thirst?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. That's a stupid line.
Well, when you're sliding into home and you feel that frothy foam, diarrhea.
Well, that makes more sense to me. The frothy foam.
You don't feel a thirst?
No.
When you say,
when I have diarrhea?
No, when you feel that hungry thirst.
All right, moving on. What do you got?
I don't know what this thing is. You tell me what you thought it was.
What I thought what was? I had no idea what it was. That's why I asked you.
When you're sliding into first.
To first. And
make up your own thing.
Blah, 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 blah. Diarrhea. That's it's been on the tip of my tongue for like a year, and I can't figure out what it is.
When you're sliding into thirst and blah, 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 blah.
Do you think diarrhea has the answer?
Of course.
All right, I'm going to try that.
All
right, moving on. Celebrity news.
Yeah.
You know, last week we talked about Madonna. She did not have a prenup. She's worth $550 million, John.
Yeah.
It's already settled. Their divorce settlement has already been negotiated.
Do you know what it
is? What?
Do you know what it is?
No.
Guy Ritchie is going to get $104 million in cash and property.
Wow.
So they're already done.
That dude made out, man.
Well, he made out, but it could have been $250 million. But rather than go through all the shit and give half money to the lawyers, Madonna came to him and said, hey, I'll give you $104 million.
That's what I'm saying.
And he said, okay. Right
boom,
on.
Boom.
Got it.
Simple.
Would you marry Madonna for 8 years for $104 million?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could.
In a heartbeat.
I don't think I'd last 8 years.
Oh, how easy could it be, man? It's got to be the easiest thing.
Are you kidding me?
Dude.
Here's somebody who's been pampered for what, 25 years?
But not by your husband.
Yeah, not by a husband, but from everybody else. She's been told she's the greatest thing ever in the history of the fucking world.
Yeah, so?
And you have to live with her every day?
Yeah, but
I can't imagine that.
I get to share 500 mil with her and go wherever I want. You know what? I'm going to go get another steak at Gibson's.
That's true.
I've had four already today. I need another one.
No, just on principle? I mean, couldn't you just say no on principle?
No what?
Okay, so like the first week you're married, she comes home and you says, hey, we got to go to Kabbalah church. Then what?
I say, fuck no. I mean,
yeah, it'd be over after a week.
Okay, then I get my 105 then.
Do you get your 105 or does she claim that, hey, well, no, I'm going to annul this marriage. It's not a divorce. I'm annulling it
It doesn't matter. You got to divorce first. The money is decided in a court of law. Annulment happens in the church.
I see. Very good. So you would... you would sacrifice. Let's say it was 8 years of this
shit. I think annulment is also a legal proceeding, but you have to divorce first. You have to cease the marriage, and then
here's what I understand, and I may not be correct, but if the marriage is annulled, you do not have to get a divorce.
How can you annul it unless the other party agrees?
Well, they don't have to agree. You could just say, hey, I never consummated it. Annulment, and I agree, annulment falls under the scope of the church. Right. So I don't know how the church plays into legalities of marriage from a traditional sense.
I don't know. All I know is my mom wanted one of her marriages annulled. And
one of them. How many did she have?
Three.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, my mom has only had one, and that was 21 years after I was born.
Nice.
Ain't that something?
Yeah. No, let's see. When I was three.
Yeah.
And then she got remarried. I don't know when. And then again, when I was probably 10 or 11. And then she got married again when I was 13. Still married.
Wait a minute. That's how many marriages is that?
This is the third one.
11, 13. Well, I guess that's three. So she wasn't married before you were born?
Yeah.
So that's four.
No, divorced when I was like three.
Oh,
and then
okay.
Remarried again, and I think it was five or something. And then got divorced around 10 or 11, then remarried when I was 13. Or 12.
I see.
Something like
now,
that.
Now, the one she got remarried to at 13 is still, she's still married to.
Yeah.
Right. I've met him.
Yeah.
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 He's insane.
Is he?
Staying with my mother that long.
Is that the only reason he's insane?
Yeah. That'd have to be it. Or getting married when I was, you know, really nuts, you know, at that nutty period of time between seventh grade and, you know, the end of high school.
Right. Where you were establishing your independence.
Right.
And smoking weed with Joe. In movies.
No, I didn't smoke weed with Joe until I was 20.
Really? The first time you smoked weed was when you were 20?
Maybe 18 or 19.
Boy, dude, man, the first time I smoked weed, I was in seventh grade.
Oh, great. That's all I need to hear with my daughter in seventh grade. That's great.
It was, Chris Miller was a friend of mine, and I would hang out with him because he hung out with Nanette Tesi, who you have had intimate stories to tell.
Ex-girlfriend, yeah.
And Chris Hansen. So I used to ride my bike over to his house, and then one night he was like, hey, man, you want to smoke some weed? I'm like, sure, man. Why not? So he called some guy, and some guy rode over on his bicycle. he gave Chris Miller some weed, and Chris Miller gave him $40 from his dad's stash.
Nice.
So we smoked some weed, and I really can't remember anything about that experience at all. The one experience. So then I really didn't do anything with weed until I was maybe 21, and some dudes came over and said, "Hey, we're at this party at a funeral home. You got to come check this out." And I'm like, hey, no doubt, man, I'm there. So we go to this funeral home and there's a party. So part of the party is you get to go down and see all the cadavers and people that are going to be presented the next day at wakes and shit like that. And then we went upstairs. I smoked a ton of weed and I watched The Wall by Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And Song Remains the Same. Yeah.
Nice.
That's when I really got hooked on the weed, man.
When you really got hooked. Yeah, this is the stuff, man. Nice. That's great. My first experience was like I was 18 or so, 18, 19. Went to my first concert ever. What was it? Robert Plant.
Really? Your first concert was Robert Plant?
Yeah.
What year was that? It had to be like 84, 85.
Yeah, something like that. And,
dude, man, I would never have imagined that in eternity.
What?
That the first concert you saw was Robert Plant in 1985.
Yeah.
You're a musician, for Pete's sake.
84, I think, maybe. Yeah, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, I was sneaking into concerts in 80.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even a musician at that time.
That's your problem.
That is my problem, but... Somebody that's so into music, your first concert was in 85.
Yeah, I'm into it.
You were playing drums for how many years before that?
Dude, I'm into it, but I don't really, I don't follow it like you and Rick do. You know, I mean, he can recite, and he hears a song, he knows who the artist was, the album it was from, what year it came out. You're the same way with the Who and the Beatles and the Stones. Not me. I'm like, I'm Mr. One-Hit Wonder.
You like the one hits?
Yeah, I listen to, you know, it's weird how I identify with a tune. I don't identify it the same way you or Rick does. I listen totally to the production of the song, how loud it is, how powerful it is, and then also ones that are very subtle. But it all has to do with the production and how it makes me feel. I don't even listen to the words. I could care less.
Wait a minute. You know, when you started your explanation, I thought, okay, so it's all technical. It's all production. But then at the very end, you said how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
And I think that's what music is all about, is how does it make people feel?
Music. But you're talking about lyrics. You guys are always, oh, I love this song because this is the best fucking song ever because it's all about the lyric.
So for you, it's not about what is said, but how the lyric becomes almost, or the vocal almost becomes a melody within the song.
Well, it is the melody.
So it's all about the overall sound and the production.
Right, the musical presentation.
We, Rick and I, provide some sort of I don't even know what to say here. But when we hear a lyric, we provide some sort of meaning to the lyric.
Yeah.
Where you don't even go through that.
No.
You don't even care what the lyrics mean.
It's a waste of my time.
Wasting your time.
Yeah.
It's just, so the vocal is just another instrument to you, and you
right.
don't pay attention to what they're saying.
Right.
Okay, understood.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about production, for me, one of the best produced albums I've ever heard is a Rush album, but I'm not sure of the title. It had Red Barchetta on it.
Yeah.
What is that album?
Moving Pictures.
Moving Pictures. The other one is Dark Side of the Moon. So from a production perspective, for me, those are the two best produced albums. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Disagree.
And from you, the production, what would you put up there?
Oh, I don't have an album. I have songs, and they change all the time.
What do you mean they change?
Yeah.
Production is production. How
no,
can it change?
It evolves.
I understand it evolves, but you gotta. I guess from my perspective, I'm talking about a historical aspect of working with what they had technology-wise at the time. I think Dark Side of the Moon and what was the Rush album?
Moving Pictures.
Moving Pictures.
Pictures.
Were some of the best produced albums. And I got to include Nirvana from, when did that come out? 90, 91?
Yeah.
Nirvana's album, as far as production.
Yeah, I don't know
so
about
you,
that.
Wait a minute. If you
get
can't
a
even.
Fucking microphone that worked, motherfucker!
Am I popping?
Yeah.
If you can't even give me an album.
I did. I said Moving Pictures.
Give me a song?
Moving Pictures.
Right, but would you agree with me that that was a well-produced album? You came back and you said, well, no, I can only give you songs.
Yeah, yeah, that's a well-produced album.
What other albums, in your opinion, were
Queen,
well-produced?
Queen, Night at the Opera.
Agreed.
Day of the Races.
Yeah. What about Cather? Soapy Orifice.
That's terrible.
No, I'm going to put that right up there.
No, it's I disagree with that.
You disagree with
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on, yeah. man.
If you could imagine trying to mix that and having Marty fucking yapping as loud as he could about his job every time we tried to mix it. Yeah. You heard what I did with, what was it called? The Jonas Brothers tune?
Yeah, yeah. Jonas Brothers, man. Kids of the Future.
Little computer speakers. I did that with little computer speakers. Now, doing it at the studio with real studio monitors, some near-field Yamahas, couldn't do it. Because, what are you doing? I mean, JBLs, near-field JBLs, couldn't do it. Because Marty, blah, 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 blah.
Always yapping.
Why do you keep rewinding? What are you listening for? Trying to hear if there's a fuck up there that I got to cut out or blah, 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 instead of listening to you yap. Yeah, it's impossible.
So, question for you. If you had to pick a bigger narcissist, who would it be, Marty or me?
Narcissist?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's tough.
That is a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, one day we're going to have to do John and Scott Theater.
I'd have to say Marty because he's a shape-shifting narcissist. You're pretty consistent.
I'm a consistent, but he's a shapeshifter.
Yeah. Yeah, he went through his Ayn Rand phase, and we had to live with that, and giving up drinking phase. You know, so part of his this behavior along with the narcissism just doesn't, it's confusing. Yours is consistent. So it's easy to expect it.
For all of our new listening audience, Marty is the guitar player in Cather that you can see on Google Video.
And last week's.
Type in Cather with a K. And last week's what?
Two songs that I played, Joey and...
Right, that's when Marty was with A Kangaroo Court.
Yeah, for sure.
The band that we are currently in, John.
Yeah.
Yes. I got to tell you, dude, man, I've gone through an entire bottle of Yellowtail Cabernet Sauvignon.
Awesome.
Well, no, I take that back. I have maybe 5 sips left. That is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Totally.
This is awesome.
Are you off your fucking meds or something?
All right. One other celebrity story. She came. She saw. She fizzled out. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Lindsay Lohan?
Sarah Silverman
at
the Hammersmith Apollo in the UK. On Sunday night, Sarah Silverman, the American comedian hailed by Rolling Stone as the funniest woman alive, checked into the Hammersmith Apollo to show London what she's made of ahead of a DVD release. Needless to say, John, it didn't go very well.
No, huh? I don't think they get her humor.
Apparently they didn't. A measure of just how rated and feted this 37-year-old Jewish star is, at least among the entertainment fraternity, was provided by the VIP count. Are you ready for the VIP count, John?
Yeah.
Lord Putman. I don't know who that is.
Lord Putman.
Keanu Reeves.
Ah.
Really? Can you really consider him a VIP?
No.
The Mighty Boosh and Little Britain's David Williams were all in the house. By the end of the gig, though, when she bounced off stage after a measly 35 minutes, she left people more shocked by the car crash nature of her debut than by her much-hyped PC-puncturing wit. It was even as if, among certain sections of the crowd, Silverman had made herself actively hated.
Wow.
There were slow hand claps and angry cries of "We want our money back."
Oh, my God. Oh.
Talk about a bomb.
Yeah. All right.
So after 37 minutes, she walked off stage. I would assume that she at least had an hour minimum.
Yeah.
And after 37 minutes, it wasn't going well at all. She just walked off stage.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
I hope they talk about it on Jimmy Kimmel. Maybe there's some video.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel broke up with Sarah Silverman, or vice versa, but they are back together. I don't know if you heard that.
No.
Yeah.
They broke up because she did Matt Damon?
I don't know why they broke up, but they said, "We've broken up and we'd like to keep this a private matter." And then they've recently gotten back together.
Because I'm fucking Matt Damon. She's fucking Matt Damon. Remember that?
I remember that. I remember that. Are you ready for science news, John?
I guess.
What do you mean, you guess?
Nothing.
What do you mean, you guess?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
I guess.
That's what I said. I guess.
You need to take a break
or
anything?
No.
No breaks? You ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Science news, John. You're going to be happy to hear this. I'm happy to hear this. A single molecule in the intestinal wall activated by the waste products from the gut bacteria. This is a lot of information to take in, John.
I'm trying to...
Did you have it all so far?
Yeah, so far. I'm writing it down.
A single molecule in the intestinal wall.
Yeah.
Activated. By the waste product.
By the waste product.
Gut bacteria.
Got it.
Play a large role in controlling whether the host animals are lean or fatty. A research team, including scientists from UT Southwest Medical Center, has found in a new study. Are you with me so far?
I'm with you, man. I'm here.
When activated, a molecule slows the movement of food through the intestine, allowing the animal to absorb more nutrients and thus gain weight. Without this signal, the animal weighs less. So, what it's saying here, John, I'm going to paraphrase here. I'm going to summarize. Is that there's this molecule in our intestines that says, push the shit through. Right? Or, hey, wait a minute. Hold up. Hold the shit up. We extract more energy, more calories from this waste.
Every bit of the shit.
Every bit of it. We need to it's like a recession. If you stop eating. So, for example, I'm eating a lot, and I'm exercising. But then I stop eating. The gut is going to say, oh, let's not shit anymore. Let's keep the shit
Slow it down, yeah.
And let's extract everything we can from the shit.
Are you saying I should eat more?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is there's a single molecule in the intestinal wall.
Well, how do I get one?
Activates or deactivates this. So, I mean, I think this is promising for future research and future potential. What would you say?
Like shove something up my
pet anus
to speed up that molecule?
Possibly. They could shove something up your
pet anus
to give you that single molecule. Maybe you don't have it. You know what I'm saying?
Or maybe they could give me a
metototomy.
You know, maybe just give me a
metototomy.
Give me a metototomy. What is that exactly?
Here's what I want to know.
Hello? This is Mike on.
I'm having to create saliva and swallow it before I talk. What is that all about? It's like I'm dehydrated or something. All right. So the study shows that the host can use bacterial byproducts not only as a source of nutrients, but also as a chemical signal to regulate body functions. It also points the way to a potential method of controlling weight. And that's the important part.
Yeah.
Again, it's all based on genetics and a single molecule in your intestinal tract. Now, I don't know if you observe your intestinal tract the way I do, John, but what I've found is that the more I eat with the less exercise, the more activity there is. And that makes sense, right?
What? Say that again.
I consume more. Let's say I consume 12,000 calories in 2 days and I don't do anything except sit and watch TV. The more bowel movements I have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now let's say 1 week I decide, you know what? I'm going to watch my calories and I'm going to exercise. And when I do that, the less bowel movements I have. So there's a scientific study now that says that there's a molecule there that decides all that for me. So the more I eat, it says, okay, push this shit right through. Let's get it out to tetanus right away.
Yeah.
But when I stop eating and I start exercising, it says, wait a minute, hold up on the shit. We need to extract as many nutrients as we can because this guy stopped eating and he's starting to exercise. So we need to extract as much as we can. So they've pinpointed this, they've figured it out, and pretty soon there's going to be an over-the-counter, maybe not over-the-counter, probably a pharmaceutical.
No, there's no money in the over-the-counter.
No, not at all. That you're going to be able to get, everybody's going to be able to get. That is going to give you this molecule, not only give you the molecule, but tell you how to program the molecule.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. So, for example, today you're going through the shits, right? Get used to that. That would be every day. You're going to go through the shits. It's just going to go right through. No nutrients are going to be extracted. See what I'm saying?
Oh, that's why they make so much money on the, what do they call those, colonics? And
colonics.
Yeah, and the colon blow.
What is that?
It's like a... stuff you can buy that'll cleanse your colon. I don't know what it's called exactly.
Really? Yeah. I'll come over and cleanse your colon.
You fag.
Something
oh
I learned.
Oh, my God.
Something I learned from this article.
What's that?
The number of bacteria in our gut far exceeds the total number of cells in our bodies.
Wow.
Think about that. So we, if you think about... us as a organism, we are made up of more bacteria than our own cells.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? One more science story. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You know, we talk about great science stories. For example, some of the things that we've reported on our show before. We all came from black people.
Yeah, right.
What are the other ones?
Are you high, man? What's the matter?
Oh, man. I got a couple sips left of Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah?
Hey, man, who's on the Skype line? Is anybody available?
Why? What's the matter? You're just talking. Tell the story.
Get Skype up. What's going on? Oh, there it is.
There.
Yeah, nobody else is online. What's the deal?
I don't know.
All right. So this science story, John.
Yeah.
Men's reactions, and I would assume it applies to women as well, but men's reactions peak at age 39. You know, in a lot of the content we talk about on our podcast.
Like finger dexterity and all that?
Well, we'll get into that. But a lot of the things that we talk about is once you reach 40, 40 seems to be like the magic age where shit starts to go downhill. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Hair coming out of your ears.
Hair out of everywhere. Like your ass, your ears.
Finger in your ass.
Just a whole bunch of crap that happens after you're 40.
Right.
And now, science, John. Not religion, but science gives us the answer. Scientists asked 72 men, 72 ranging in age from 23 to 80, to tap their index fingers as fast as they could for 10 seconds. The researchers also did brain scans to measure in each subject the amount of myelin, a fatty sheath of insulation that coats nerve axons and allows the signaling bursts in our brains. Both the tapping speed and the amount of myelin is... don't you think they should do a study on reading text?
Yeah.
That would be more effective.
Tetanus.
The amount of myelin was found to decline with an accelerating trajectory after the age of 39.
Nice.
Study leader George Bardazokas, professor of psychiatry at UCLA, called the results pretty striking and said that may well be why, besides achy joints and arthritis, even the fittest athletes retire and all older people move slower than they did when they were younger.
Wow.
And there you have it. And you know what makes me think of? It's like a Barry Bonds on steroids. And I would think one thing to verify this research is to test people on steroids. And if they still have this myelin after the age of 40 and they're doing steroids, it's because of steroids. You know what I'm saying, Jeff?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But not only are reactions peak at 39, but so does everything else. I mean, after 39, it's all downhill from a physical
perspective.
So you got to, from a mental perspective, I think it's all uphill, but from a physical perspective, it's all downhill. And it'll be interesting when Zach does come in to talk to him about that, because
he's on his way.
When we did catheter, how many years ago was that?
Oh, I don't know.
Six?
Yeah, something like that.
So at the time, I'm Zach. I'm 25. So he's 31 now.
Yeah.
So he's got 9 years. And then when you hit 40, well, they're saying 39. But for me, it was 40.
Yeah.
It's, physically, it's all downhill after that. All downhill. Would you agree?
Yeah. I got a towel and a razor blade right now. I don't know what the towel's for. I'll be dead before I can wipe up my own blood.
All right, John, that's all I have for celebrity and science and movie news.
Well, I got some emails.
Email? Oh, yeah. I do have an email. You have email, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to email. Where's the email stinger, John? Email stinger.
Email stinger?
Yeah, didn't we have an email stinger?
Yeah, we did. I told you my PC got all fucked up, right?
Right, right, right.
Right. So I don't have it at the ready.
We just received this email. Dragula has invited us to a MySpace event, a Rob Zombie tribute, October 31st.
Dragula. Oh, here it is. Sorry.
So anyway, that's a Rob Zombie tribute, October 31st, Boondocks in West Chicago.
Nice. Go ahead.
That's it. We've been invited.
Great. Amber, a listener to the show, sent me an email. Says, hey, John, I haven't finished listening to episode 146 yet, but I had to stop and make a comment about your chiropractor story about having to hold your vitamins in your hand while he pushed on your arm to see which vitamin would work. She says, I was visiting a relative of mine when I saw her do this exact thing at her veterinary practice. The only difference was animals can't hold their own vitamins.
So how did she do that? What was the approach?
So what she did is to have her assistant hold the vitamins against the animal's belly. And then the assistant would hold his or her arm out to be pushed on.
Wait a minute. Was Amber in, did she witness
yes,
this?
Yes, yes.
Did she say to whoever she was with?
No, I don't
know. Let's get out of here.
In that way, my relative determined what was the right vitamin for the animal. Ridiculous! And what makes this even better, a better TTN story, that relative is a Scientologist. That's a great story.
That is a great story, but if you're a Scientologist, you don't believe in any of that shit. So it's kind of contradictory, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you're a Scientologist, you don't believe in psychiatry.
You believe in vitamins, though.
I guess you believe in vitamins.
She says.
I want to know, did she mention, did she confront? Did she say?
Well, we'll have to ask her to come on the show. She can Skype in.
We'll have to ask her, yeah.
She can Skype in. She says, by the way, tell Scott I'll send him a copy of Fletch to watch. That movie is definitely in my top 10, probably my top 5.
Wow.
And she has a show also called Dumbassity. Dumbassity. D-U-M-B. Yeah, something like that. She didn't put the link. But that would be Amberance. She's a...
We've met her, John.
Yeah, we've met her. Yeah. We've drinking with her. She's seen us play.
Now, I guess my recollection is we met her because she's a fan of Punky.
Yes.
Would that be a correct statement?
Yes.
Fucking microphone that works, motherfucker.
I'm still popping then, huh?
Yeah, you got all kinds of weird shit going on.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You'll hear it.
Oh, that's great. You got any other emails there, John?
Yes.
We have any voicemails this week?
Yes, I do. Here's the other email.
So emails and voicemails.
This comes from Mike S. He says, howdy, man. I've got an idea for a top 10. Top 10 TV show theme songs. How about that?
All right. I'll have that ready by next week,
oh,
man.
It's Manstone. Mike S. is also Manstone. Manstone.
Manstone.
Yeah.
Right on. Oh, you know, that reminds me of the forum.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, John, I've about had it with the forum.
Here we go. Jesus. Yeah, I got to quit the band. I've had it with the forum. I can't podcast anymore.
I logged in the other day, right? And there were 200 new accounts within 3 days. So then I have to either activate everybody or say delete. So I'm going through all these accounts, and
dude,
I'm like, okay.
All you got to do is put one of those authenticator things in with the picture.
We have that. We have that.
Really?
It's a picture of numbers and letters that you have to enter, right?
Yeah.
That can't be OCR'd, for example. We have that. So there's these 200 accounts. So I'm going through all of them individually because, okay, are they real? Good news. The good news, John, is King Heedley, 69, is back in business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But I had to wade through 199 accounts.
And so was Mui Cow.
Mui Cow was before.
Oh.
We got an onslaught of bogus accounts. And let me tell you, fans, something. If you're trying to sign up and I rejected you, here's what you need to do. You need to make your username and your password pretty much the same. Okay? And if you're from Russia, forget it. You're not going to get on our forum. Because most of the shit, 98% of the shit, comes from Russia.
Yeah, my emails, man.
Yeah, I've had it with that. Come on. It's unbelievable. Jesus Christ.
I got to quit the band. I'm shutting the forum down.
If I did happen to exclude you or delete you, just send an email to John at ttntotaltalknonsense.com and say, hey, create my account on the forum and give us a username and we can create your account. But I'm not going to wade through 200 fucking new accounts every week. Forget that.
Right.
Stop whining.
Delete them all.
Stop whining. Stop whining. So shut up.
Either that or I'm just going to turn off accounts.
Listen to Anna. All right, then. Where were we? Did you have an email?
Email. Yeah, I did have an email. This is from Twilight in Thebes.
Ah.
They also have a podcast, John. And I have to check that out. I've never checked them out. They've emailed us on several occasions. But they emailed us and they said, hey, you two, just finished listening to TTN 145. And wanted to share some thoughts. I totally agree with the comment on realtors. That's when we said realtors were pieces of shit. And
yeah.
They should pay because the interwebs can provide the same service. In northern New Mexico, we call them dirt pimps. And I think that phrase describes them pretty well.
I like that.
Here's my favorite part of the email, John. I have to side with Scott on Young Frankenstein.
Here we go with the narcissism.
That is a hilarious movie. That movie and Blues Brothers are two adult comedies I got to watch as a kid, so they are special to me. But again, another email. We had the email. We had the voicemail from Unushato denouncing and condemning your risky business.
It's okay. All the fans like me better anyway.
Now we have the email that says, yes, Young Frankenstein should be in the top 10. One more thing. A couple of shows ago, you two were talking about the song
That's
I Kissed a Girl.
My fucking top 10, not your gay-ass top 10.
Did you know that the singer Katy Perry's last album was a Christian gospel album?
Figures, that's why you would like it, you
and
freak.
They sent us the link. Well, I would like it because I like the song. I don't care the history. I don't give a shit about
history.
That. I like the song. You
I like the
saying?
Song and any time
like
a
when
fan.
We talked about the production of Dark Side of the Moon, production of Rush, production of what album did you cite production-wise?
Queen.
So it's not about who these people are as people. It's what they've produced. So Katy Perry, if she did a Christian album, and then after the Christian album, she came out with a single, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, I am totally digging Katy Perry even more than I did before. You know what I'm saying? Great show, guys. Twilight. The Twilight in Thebes show. Sex, politics, guns, and hippie love. twilightandthebes.com. So check that out. I am going to check that out, John. You know why?
Why?
Because I got the new PC, right?
Because they stroked your ego?
Yes, and I installed iTunes, right? So now I have to go out and subscribe to all the podcasts that I've previously subscribed to.
Subscribe?
So, for example, Smodcast, Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. And now I get to add Twilight and Thebes because I can't remember all the other podcasts I've subscribed.
You might want to spend some time with your computer on finding a microphone that works.
That's funny, John. All right, so that's all I have for email.
Oh, my God. Listen, if you could just hear that thing.
What thing?
Your mic is going.
Is it? What's
get
up with that?
Fucking microphone that worked, motherfucker.
Yeah.
All right, man, let's get into politics. If I'm not talking, does it still make all those sounds?
It does, a little bit, yeah.
But more so when I'm talking.
No. When you're talking, no. You must have spit a lot on the thing or something. I don't know. It's definitely a shorting sound.
Let's call Spike and Rachel. They're online.
Hey, man. No, we got to wrap it up. Just because you don't go to work tomorrow.
I do go to work. I have an 8:30 meeting. And then I have an all-employee meeting at the Rosemont Theater.
Oh, boy.
Where I hope that I get in the Rosemont Theater. I'm assuming that... The first 2,500 that show up will get in the theater, and then the rest will be handed pink slips.
No, the rest will be asked to get on like one of those school buses that are that are painted with primer. They're all gray, bad muffler.
Like Partridge Family.
They disappear you. It's a Gitmo.
Redacted.
So are we going to talk at all about politics?
Of course we are. Let's move it over to politics, John.
Wow.
Move it over. I got to tell you this, John. Whoever's elected president in this election is going to inherit the most miserable situation ever. And it's all falls on the W. He's one of the worst presidents the U.S. has ever had, if not the worst.
Yeah.
And whoever is elected is going to have to deal with that shit. That's why it's one of the most important elections, in my opinion, is because they got to either follow the W's lead and making us a third world country, or they got to turn it around.
Yeah.
And also, the possibility is there, if they can turn it around, to be considered one of the best presidents in the U.S. history. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're very profound right there. The turn it around.
Because what is Bush giving us?
The best president.
Carnage abroad, right?
Yeah,
carnage.
Abroad.
Chaos. Financial destitution. And what about our civil liberties?
Oh, yeah. Done.
Yeah.
Well, I get the sound clip. I found the sound clip. It's an interview of it's the tail end of an interview with this guy. Actually, the guy's not in it at all. But it's a PBS, I think a PBS interview. And they're interviewing this husband, asking him about his, where he's at. He's on the fence. He doesn't know who to vote for, McCain or Obama. He's not sure. He's torn. And then the wife walks in this interview. Mm-hmm. So they decide to ask her, now that your husband is on the fence, who are you going to vote for? Does yours different from your husband's? And this is what she had to say.
So we wanted to hear from her as well.
What's the most important issue for you in this election?
The one who has the most faith in the Lord.
That's make or break for you.
That should be make and break for everybody.
And when you hear people saying, well, we understand your faith, but what if you're going to vote against your husband's interests as an American worker?
The Lord will take care of us. That's the way I look at things.
For Tracy Curley, this election is not so much about policies as it is about values. She says she doesn't feel like Barack Obama shares her conservative religious worldview.
I can't imagine having a president of the United States being named President Obama. I really have a problem with that, and I am not the only one.
Because that means what to you?
His background. a mother that was atheist. Oh, that really gets to me. A father that was a Muslim. That should get to everyone.
And when Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle, say, but we're faith-based, we're Christians,
The church they were members of? That's not the Christianity I know. That's not the Christianity that's in the Bible.
And so for you, you are firmly decided.
Definitely.
And what do you say to your husband who is still on the fence?
I will pray for him. He knows what the right decision is.
Yeah, divorce your ass.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that is so unbelievable to me. Well, it is believable. I mean, 90% of this country is of Christian faith, and this is their mentality. And this is why this country went from one of the greatest countries ever to in the shithole it is now. And if it's not turned around, we're going to be a fucking third world theology, John. A theology.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Theology?
Theocracy. Theocracy.
That's what I meant. Theocracy.
Well, I mean, this is like the McCain rallies now are just racist, angry, faith-based. I don't know what they are. They're just. There was this a line of people on their way into a rally, and across the street were Obama supporters, and these people, as they're in line, I don't know what they're yelling exactly, but the people in line for McCain are yelling all kinds of other shit.
There's another lawyer in Washington, and that's Barack Obama. He's a lawyer.
I think you're stupid.
Why, sir?
Because that guy gets elected, he hangs around with terrorists.
Who's the terrorist?
Obama.
Obama's a terrorist, don't you know that?
Obama's a Muslim, he's a terrorist himself.
Do you really believe that, sir? Do you really believe that? You believe that Senator Obama's a terrorist?
I believe he supports terrorism.
Here it is! Love it!
Yes, we are!
Commie faggot! Commie faggot!
You get a load of that guy? Commie faggots.
It's really it's unbelievable.
These are the
to
people
me.
That are in line for a McCain rally,
and these are the people that have the ability to vote. With you know, and there's no critical thinking going on.
No.
Who knows where their belief system comes from? It's just so fucking depressing to me. And, you know, I'm confident that this election will go the way that I think it should, but you never know because of fucktards like this that, yeah. that can't think their way out of a goddamn wet paper bag are going to have the ability to vote.
Well, check this out. Rush Limbaugh this week said some shit about Acorn and tying Obama with Bill Ayers and the leftist. Well, you got to hear this. Check this out.
As you study more and more of this Acorn stuff, you find that it has been part of an entire movement that has been going on for two, maybe three decades right under our noses. We thought that it was just liberal welfare policies and all that that kept blacks from progressing while other minorities grew and prospered, but no. It is these wackos from Bill Ayers to Jeremiah Wright to other anti-American, Afrocentric, black liberation theologists working with Acorn, and Barack Obama is smack dab in the middle of it. They have been training young black kids to hate this country. And they trained their parents before that to hate this country. It was a movement.
So that's Limbaugh linking Acorn and Ayers and Obama all into one group of leftists, extremists, training like as in militant young blacks to hate America. Hello?
Yeah, you know, it's so depressing to me is because when I was with my family last weekend, they all told me that they listened to Rush Limbaugh. So that what I'm understanding is that they all buy into this total bullshit from this OxyContin. If you're going to be addicted to a drug, can it be a cool drug like heroin or cocaine? No, it's got to be OxyContin for this fucktard.
Well, check this out. There's two. I got two voicemails that were that got published rightwingwatch.com had these two voicemails from Acorn. Two people called into Acorn. There was hundreds of them, thousands of them. But these were the two that they published. They're very explicit, okay? So these are actual voicemails. I took them from rightwingwatch.com. They're also on Crooks and Liars. Here's the first one to Acorn.
Hi, I was just calling to let you all know that Barack Obama needs to get hung. He's a fucking nigger, and he's a piece of shit. You guys are fraudulent, and yet you need to go to hell. Because all the niggers on oak trees. They're going to get all hung, honeys. They're going to get assassinated. They're going to get killed.
End of message.
What the fuck is with that?
I don't know. I think it's I'm not happy to say this, but I think it's a part of the American tradition. When I think about TP and his dad had the same opinions. TP has the same opinions. I mean, if we got him liquored up and we actually got him to call into the show,
yeah, but
I'm assuming he would say the same goddamn thing.
But he's one of those people, along with this person, that aren't thinking rationally. They're getting pumped up and angry because of people like Rush Limbaugh. They can't, and this is part of this whole belief thing we were talking about earlier regarding religion. They get pumped
right.
up. They glom on. Tell me what I need to know. Tell me what I should think because I can't do it myself.
I can't think for myself. And you're right. The baseline or the source of this belief system comes from religion. She made some implications or inferences that I inferred about religion in her statements. But when you hear that message, I mean, it's so goddamn depressing that there are people like that, not only that are allowed to vote, but are allowed to breed and have offspring
right.
and spew that shit to their kids. I mean, it's just, it's disgusting to me.
Here's the second one.
You liberal idiots, dumb shits, welfare bums, guys just fucking come to our country, consume every natural resource there is, and make a lot of babies. That's all you guys do. And then suck up the welfare and expect everyone else to pay for your hospital bills for your kids. I say just let your kids die. That's the best move. Just let your children die. Forget about paying for hospital bills for them. I'm not going to do it. You guys are low lives, and I hope you all die.
Jesus Christ. Sorry about the audio. That's the way it came down.
No, that's fine. And I would love to have that fucker on our show.
Yeah.
I mean, what does he do for a living, you know? I would imagine, what? Is he Joe the Plumber?
Yeah, right. That cracked me up, too. McCain is blaming Barack for all the media on Joe the Plumber's front lawn. It's Barack's fault. Because he shook the guy's hand and talked to him.
Joe the Plumber's not even a fucking plumber.
No. He's a fraud.
And he has relations with Keating.
I don't know if they've substantiated that yet.
I think they have.
Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they have.
Well, here's the calls that have been going out to all the this robocall thing. Something McCain
robocall.
Said he was against.
Robocalls. So it's an excellent segue, John. So you've played the mentality of what would you consider 20% of the American population? That's their mentality?
Yeah.
Would you say it's 10 or 20%?
No, it's 20. I'd say so.
Okay, and let's say there's another 10 that are undecided but are in that same belief system or mentality. Here are the robocalls. This is what McCain is spending his last money on.
Well, this is I think they ask him also about it. Here it is.
Senator, one tactic that you've been using in these final days is robocalls, automated telephone calls into people's homes. And let's listen to one of them. Here it is.
You need to know that Barack Obama has worked closely with domestic terrorist Bill Ayers, whose organization bombed the U.S. Capitol, the Pentagon, a judge's home, and killed Americans.
Senator, back in 2000...
Absolutely true.
Can I ask the question?
Before you do, that is absolutely true. And I don't care about Mr. Ayers and his wife, who was on the top 10 most wanted list. I care about everybody knowing the relationship between the two of them. That's legitimate. Senator Obama and Bill Ayers served on a board of the Woods Foundation, and they gave $230,000 to Acorn. What's that all about? He said that he was just a guy in the neighborhood. He wasn't just a guy in the neighborhood. We need to know the full extent of that relationship. That is an accurate robocall.
But Senator, back, if I may, back in 2000, when you were the target of robocalls, you called these hate calls. And
they
were. And you said the following. I promise you I have never and will never have anything to do with that kind of political tactic. Now, you've hired the same guy who did the robocalls against you, to reportedly, to do the robocalls against Obama, and the Republican Senator Susan Collins, the co-chair of your campaign in Maine, has asked you to stop the robocalls. Will you do that?
Of course not. These are legitimate and truthful, and they are far different than the phone calls that were made about my family and about certain aspects, that things that this is dramatically
like
different.
Your wife's
and
a drug addict.
Didn't see those things in 2000.
No, I saw them.
Or you don't know the difference between that and what is a legitimate issue, and that is Senator Obama being truthful with the American people.
And for me, when I think about this election, it doesn't even matter what the issues are. I can really couldn't care less which side of the issue Obama or McCain is on. For me, it comes down to character. And McCain failed tremendously. Just in that one clip that you played is a question of character. He failed. The robocalls that he made were okay because they were accurate robocalls.
Which they're not.
But even the term accurate robocalls, like inaccurate robocalls are not okay, but accurate robocalls. Can't we just say that robocalls are fucking slimy?
Yeah.
And if you even consider doing them, you're a piece of shit and your character is for shit.
Right. And he exactly. That's what he said, that they were slimy and they were bullshit. And he would never do that himself. And now he's doing
unless
it.
They're accurate.
Unless they're,
and they're not even accurate.
He never qualified it with accurate. He never qualified. I wouldn't do them unless they're accurate, when he originally said it in 2000.
And that's what does it for me. I mean, McCain is such a goddamn piece of shit when it comes to character. I mean, he has no character. And the character that he does have fucking disgusts me.
Yeah.
And that's why he will not get my vote for president. If he had the greatest foreign policy and economic solution to our current crisis, I still wouldn't vote for him because he's a fucking asshole. Bottom line, Jim.
All right, then.
Are you off your fucking meds or something?
I should be on him.
Oh. Here's a clip about the smear campaign.
I want to ask you about William Ayers. Last May, Bill O'Reilly asked you about Ayers and also about Reverend Jeremiah Wright. And here's what you had to say. Let's watch.
This campaign is not going to be about, in all due respect, about Reverend Wright or Mr. Ayers. It's going to be about vision. It's going to be about a plan of action for the American people who are hurting right now.
But Senator,
let
me ask the question.
Yeah, sure.
But Senator, according to a New York Times poll this week, and let's put it up on the screen, there you can see it, 62% of independents now think you're spending more time attacking Obama than explaining what you would do as president. Haven't you gone on the attack against Ayers because you're behind?
Facts are stubborn things. Senator Obama has spent more money on attack ads against me than any campaign in history. In all due respect to that kind of poll, I know what kind of campaign we're running. I know what we're saying at the rallies. We need to keep Americans in their home. We need to create jobs. We need to keep taxes low. We need to restore this economy. That's what this campaign is all about, and that's why we're going to do well, and that's why we're going to win. Of course, Mr. Ayers is an issue. Of course, there's other. Acorn is an issue. There's a number of issues that are out there. But what Americans want to hear is what we're telling them. And that says we're not going to spread the wealth around. We don't think we need to do that. We're going to create jobs. We're going to have Joe the Plumber create jobs for America. And we're going to show them the way to do it by keeping taxes low and restoring our economy.
It's funny he says that, because in 2000, when he was running against Bush, he said that he would increase taxes a little bit on the rich and not increase them on the middle class, to do exactly what Barack Obama is talking about.
Well, the guy is completely fucking delusional to me, because he says we don't want to spread the wealth around. What we want to do is keep the 1% wealthiest. We want to keep them the wealthiest. We want to keep them in control, and we want to suppress everybody else. And how could you fucking not raise taxes when we're spending $10 billion a month on a dumbass war that the W and McCain both said we needed to do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous to me.
Yeah. And Colin Powell endorsed Barack Obama.
Big fucking whoop.
Yeah.
The only interesting thing about that story is Limbaugh and some other asshole came out and said, well, the only, who was it? They came out and said
George
the
Will.
Only reason they voted
William Buckley, is that it? Rush and some other guy came out and said, well, the only reason Colin Powell is endorsing Obama is because he's black.
Yeah. Well, George Will said that too.
Yeah, George Will, that's the guy. But on the flip side, you see these fringe fucking newspapers coming out and supporting McCain.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I'm going to go on record. If they're going to play the race card, I'm going to play the race card. The only reason they're supporting McCain is because he's fucking white.
White. He's white. A cracker.
And so those newspapers that support him, those fringe fucking lunatic newspapers, they're racist pieces of shit.
Well, the only reason I'm voting for Brock is because he's black.
That's the only reason I am.
Yeah.
And because it comes down to a question of character. I give a shit what their policies are at this point. McCain is such a fucking slimy piece of shit. It comes down to character. There's no way in hell I would vote for that cocksucker. There you have it. And I already voted. I'm done.
You're done. So is Phil supposed to come by or no?
No, Phil's not coming. I didn't give him. Yeah, I didn't. No way.
Give him directions?
I can't let him in my house.
Oh, that's cool. In my house, it's okay, but not yours.
But getting back to Colin Powell.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Man,
I didn't know you were. I was trying to.
Colin Powell could have been a real hero to this country, but he wasn't.
Why is that?
He could have said, there is no evidence of weapons of mass destruction. This war is bullshit, but he didn't. He came out and he said, yes. He even questioned the intelligence that he was giving, but he still came out and said, yes, they have weapons of mass destruction. We need to go in there.
I disagree with that a little bit.
In what way?
Because when you are in the military, you follow orders.
I understand you follow orders, but real heroes, under the discipline of following orders, act according to their beliefs. And I get the implication or the inference that Colin Powell was on the fence. He could have gone one way or the other.
Yeah.
And I get that he said, you know, this is probably all shit. But he went out and he said it anyway.
Yeah.
So fuck Colin Powell. Fuck his endorsement for Obama. I can give a rat's ass. That doesn't mean shit to me. None of these endorsements mean shit to me. Heidi Montag from the Hills endorses McCain. Does that mean anything to anybody? Is that going to sway anybody's vote? I hope not.
I don't know.
The one interesting one.
I could tell you're very upset.
Is the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, because they're
161 years of existence. The Trib has never endorsed a Democrat.
That's very interesting.
Until Obama.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Very interesting.
They did just change ownership, so who knows?
That's right. Well, who owns them now?
Zig. Ziegler?
Zig Ziegler? No, I don't
think. Zig Ziegler?
No.
All I know is if Obama doesn't win in a landslide, John, we need to seriously consider moving out of the country.
Off the planet.
After hearing those clips of the phone calls that you played, I mean, that just depresses me to no end. I'm so depressed by that.
I want to arm up. You have to arm up, man.
I'm going to have to go over to my father-in-law's and say, hey, you need to give me half your stash.
I need that Russian rifle that I can put together, but you can't.
Right, the AK-47.
Right. Oh, yeah, we got a call from a guy, too. I forgot to play.
A call? Who's the call from?
D-Cup.
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 Jonathan?
It's from a guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jonathan, Scott, Philip, this is D-Cup, wandering in off of the internets. I'm a first-time listener, long-time caller, and I really just called because I'm sick and tired of you guys bitching about only getting calls from Uno Chato. Now you've gotten a call from somebody else. Quit whining already. Jesus.
Really? Do we whine that much?
So he's saying,
stop whining. You lack discipline.
Well, here's why we whine. I got the new computer, right?
Yeah.
So I downloaded Skype, and then I couldn't remember my account. So I created a new account, and then I had to try to find the TTN account, and I couldn't find it. I spent an hour trying to find the TTN account. So if you're on Skype, you just need to go to
TTN underscore.
You need to go to TTN underscore John
right.
If you're on Skype. If you're not on Skype, you can always call us at 847-866-4493 or 847-TTN-GIZD.
GIZD.
And there you have it.
Yeah.
So, John, I've already voted, and I'm not even confident that vote was going to be counted correctly.
Yeah.
I cannot wait until November 4th when I sit down with my daughter, because it's part of her assignment for school, that she has to watch the tally on November 4th that decides the next president.
I'm the decider, not you.
Of the United States of America.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting.
It is.
All right. Well, I think we got to shut it down, man.
John, the last time I was interested, that interested, was in 1972 when McGovern was running against Nixon.
What?
And I told my mother, you better vote for Nixon.
Why?
I don't know if she did or not, but Nixon won 1972, November 4th, and I was up until 11 watching TV.
And you felt responsible?
I didn't feel responsible, but I felt an elated feeling that Nixon won. Of course, not knowing that 2 years later, the Watergate scandal would occur. But I was all about Nixon when I was 6 years old or whatever the hell age I was.
Tricky Dick?
Tricky Dick.
Yeah. All right.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Hello?
Right on. 146.
147, I'm sorry to say, Scott, but it is 147.
How are we doing on time?
We've gone 2 hours and 20 minutes.
2:20?
Yeah, it's 20 after 11.
Christ.
At least you don't got to drive home.
Yeah, I don't have to drive home. I just got to piss and stumble upstairs.
All right, this is Total Talk Nonsense, episode 147. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here.
That's right. Tune in next week. We have a special guest, Zach. Right now.
Shut up. Bye. Say bye, Scott.
Bye, Scott.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.